The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 18, text number 65, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hadhikari, recorded on August 26, 2007, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 18, text number 65. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Manmana bhavamad bhakto majyaji mang namaskuru. Mam me vaishya shisat yang te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feather in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So this verse is the perfect description of what it means to be Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness cannot be concocted. We have to follow the instructions of Krishna. Otherwise, we cannot be Krishna conscious. Originally, we were with Krishna in the spiritual world, but somehow or other, we decided to not follow his instructions, that we would do things our own way instead of doing them Krishna's way. So, Krishna, being very kind, because we wanted to do things our own way instead of Krishna's way, he gave us a facility where we could do things our own way. That is this material world. But because we are meant by constitution to serve Krishna, just as the fish is always meant to be in the water, because we are meant by constitution to always act for the pleasure of Krishna, to try to act now differently according to our own whims, this will not satisfy us any more than the fish can be happy by trying to live as a creature of the land. So this beautiful Bhagavad Gita is simply meant to get us back to our original position in Krishna consciousness, always thinking of Krishna, becoming the devotee of Krishna, worshipping Krishna and offering our homage to Krishna. Krishna has made a promise here. This is very wonderful. Pratijane, he says, I promise. He's making promise that if you will do these things, if you will think of me, if you become my devotee, if you worship me and offer homage to me, I promise you, Arjuna, that you will come to me without fail. So, this is a very nice thing. This promise of Krishna is not only to Arjuna, this promise of Krishna is also to each and every one of us. Krishna is giving us his guarantee that if we will engage in these activities, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, all these different activities, the nine activities of bhakti, Nava Vidha Bhakti. He's assuring us that if we take up this path of Nava Vidha Bhakti, that we will attain him. So Krishna's guarantee cannot be broken by anything. We may purchase some product in this world, and it may come with a guarantee by the manufacturer, you see. And we feel very comfortable and sure that I have my guarantee from the manufacturer. But then if the manufacturer goes bankrupt, what happens to your guarantee, you see? This is like we may feel very safe and secure having the currency of our country in our pocket. Oh, I have money in my pocket. I have money in my bank account. But what happens when they devalue the currency, like happened in Mexico many years ago, or happened in Indonesia recently? You thought you had so much wealth, it was assured, it was in the bank, but all of a sudden the currency was devalued, and now you're a millionaire, and now you can just barely pay your rent, you see? So there's nothing in this world that's guaranteed. You cannot trust the material nature. There's only one person you can trust. God. In God we trust. We cannot trust anyone else. Since God is giving us His promise, if we always absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, that we will attain Him, then we know for sure. So why we do not do? Why do we manufacture our own process or follow the pathway of those who have manufactured a concocted system? Do you know why we do that? I mean, it's foolish, really. Very foolish. We tend to do that. It is called cheating mentality. Even someone is very sincerely looking for a spiritual master, they will be attracted to a cheater who's not the actual teacher of Vedic wisdom. We see at the present moment, the world is filled up with so many cheaters who are presenting themselves or allowing themselves to be presented as bona fide spiritual masters and incarnations of God. And we see that generally people who are looking for spiritual enlightenment, they are attracted to the cheaters. Actually, they wanted to be cheated, therefore Krishna is giving them cheated. They didn't actually want the real thing. So how to save them, you see? That is the great challenge that we face. How to save these people who are attracted to cheaters? It's difficult. Mahajano yeno gutosta pantha. The actual system is coming down from the acharyas. But someone, even they're coming in the line of the acharyas, who doesn't want to actually follow the authority. You see, everyone is under an authority. No one is independent. If someone does not want to follow the authority under which Krishna has placed them, then they will concoct some new philosophy to justify their acting differently than their predecessor, Acharya. They will come up with some new twist on the bhakti yoga system to justify not following the previous Acharya. But what is the position of such a so-called guru? You see, he is called asada. He may be a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master, but if he disobeys that spiritual master, he's a branch on the tree that was cut off. Diseased branch. Just like here outside we have an oak tree and there's some branches that are dead. You see? They are a branch on the tree, but they are dead. So someone may be a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master, but if they are not following their guru, they cannot claim to be a bona fide spiritual master. It is simply show bottle, that's all. So the world is filled up with such pseudo-teachers claiming to be a follower of this great personality or that great personality. So it is a very sad state of affairs, actually, in the present time. How to save them? Because they don't want to actually surrender. Therefore, they're attracted to those persons who didn't surrender to their guru. Somebody wants to be cheated, what are you going to do? There's something you can do for someone who doesn't, who wants to be cheated? How you can save them? After coming all the way through 8,400,000 species and finally getting this form which is most suitable for spiritual enlightenment, one should simply desire pure devotional service, complete surrender to the will of the Lord. One should desire that and nothing but that. If I want to do something different than fully surrendering myself to the Lord, I'm doing nothing but cheating myself. Why? Because I will stay in the cycle of birth and death, that's why. If I try to do something other than actually fully surrendering to Krishna and through the medium of bona fide guru, then I will remain. Disciple means whatever my Guru Maharaj instructs, that I accept. Not that I negotiate that Gurudev is my co-pilot. On every point we negotiate, work out a deal. No. It means I'm completely under his direction. If he says do this, I do this. If he says don't do this, I don't do this. Whatever instruction he gives me, I carry that out. That is the meaning of disciple. So that is how one can actually be absorbed in executing the instructions given herein by the Lord. It remains, as I was explaining last night, without the principle of taking shelter of Guru, I'm simply licking the outside of the bottle of honey, trying to get the taste. It is when I actually surrender to the spiritual master, Krishna's representative, that I am able to taste the honey. So, if it is not possible to give up the desire for sense enjoyment unless we get that higher taste. Simply some theory, that will not be enough. One has to actually taste the sukham akshayam, you see, the unlimited happiness of spiritual life. Sukhayam, sukham akshayam ashnute. He enjoys unlimited happiness, you see. That person who has surrendered to his spiritual master, his bona fide guru. That person relishes unlimited happiness. It doesn't matter what's going on within the external energy. It may be very nice. It may not be very nice. That does not matter. Because he has completely put himself under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, sukham akshayam ashnute. He enjoys unlimited happiness at every minute. So, we have to understand what it means to practically realize these wonderful words of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. We have to realize what is, it's not simply some flowery words. We have to realize what it means to actually live in the consciousness as described here. Simply to advertise, oh yes, I'm always thinking of Krishna. that will not put one in that consciousness. One has to actually be in that state of consciousness. Or one is not thinking in one's own sense enjoyment at all. But one is only thinking of pleasing Krishna. And Krishna is represented in the bona fide spiritual master. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. Not advertising, oh yes, I'm always thinking of Krishna. Anyone can advertise anything. Advertisements will not help us at the time of our passing out of this body. We have to factually be absorbed in always doing everything. Every thought, every word, and every deed, always carefully observed and executed for the pleasure of the Lord, according to the instruction of the previous acharyas. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. Does this sound too difficult? Or does it sound doable? What is your opinion? Is it doable or is it too difficult? Maybe next birth. What is your opinion? Is it doable? It is doable, yeah. It is doable. I know because I'm doing it. I've been doing it for 36 years. It is quite doable. I did it as a brahmachari monk living in the ashram. I did it as a householder working in the corporate rat race. Now I'm doing it as a retired spiritual master, traveling and preaching all over the world. It's the same thing. Whatever you're doing externally doesn't matter. You can be a student, a housewife, the president of the United States. You can be anything. And practice this science. It's quite doable, but you have to follow the instruction the spiritual master gives you. You can't try to negotiate a deal with him. Whatever he says, you accept. That's the contract. There's no negotiation in the contract. Whatever instructions he gives, that you carry out. And that makes you perfect. And that puts you in a state of bliss. Prabhupada told one devotee to go and to preach in Russia. I've told this example before. But he was thinking, well, Prabhupada, I won't be Krishna conscious if I didn't do that. Prabhupada didn't accept that argument, you see. One has to think how to see that the real meaning of being Krishna conscious is to think, what will please my spiritual master? That's the real Krishna consciousness. So that we must do. Arjuna was thinking he wouldn't be Krishna conscious if he had to fight this battle. He wouldn't be properly situated in spiritual consciousness if he fought the battle. He thought it's better just to not fight the battle. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it, Krishna. I shall not fight. He was very determined that actually this is the best thing, Krishna. He gave so many arguments to support his position. This is the best thing. I'm not going to fight. But he failed to know that you have to ask your spiritual master, what does he want you to do? That's the proper position. That's the proper position. Guru Maharaj, what do you want me to do? You want me to do this? You want me to do that? That is the position. That is the proper position. That is perfection. So, this we can do if we are sincere. Krishna will help us. If it seems a little too difficult, that it's not, because Krishna will help him. He's been waiting for millions of lifetimes when we will actually take up this path of Krishna Bhakti, as described in the Vedas. He is waiting. He has waited, and he's been waiting for millions of lifetimes when this, my dearest child, will come back to me. So if we have a sincere desire to go back to Krishna, then he will give us all facility. He will give us a bona fide spiritual master. He will give us the association of bona fide Vaishnavas. He will give us the bona fide scriptures. He will give us everything we need, the holy names, prasadam, the deities, everything, holy places. He will give us everything we need to become perfect. We simply have to be sincere, that's all. It's such a nice thing. Sincerity is all that's required. If you go to work at XYZ Corporation, you may be very sincere, but if you cannot hit the ground running, as they said, pretty fast, they may give you a few days to see, to adjust. But if you can't pick up speed and get going with the team, the level of productivity that they're expecting from all the workers, you won't make it past your probation. That's a fact. Doesn't matter how sincere you are. What, I'm really trying. I'm really sincere. No. You see. In material life, it's very cruel like that. If you don't have the karma to be able to produce at a certain level, you're out. Doesn't matter how sincere you are. But Krishna, he is very kind. He is not like them. You may be competent, you may be incompetent. That's all right. Whatever you may be, Krishna will accept if you're sincere. But that does not mean remain lazy and remain incompetent. Is it? One must sincerely endeavor to become competent. One must make that sincere endeavor to become competent in one's service. Same time. That if I'm giving, if my service is to give lectures on Krishna consciousness, then I should work very hard to become competent, to give very nice lectures that will inspire everyone and guide them nicely. You see. If I'm hearing, then I should try to hear very nicely, become very competent hearer so that I can absorb what I'm hearing very nicely. If I'm chanting my japa, I should try to become very competent chanter of japa so I can actually deeply absorb myself in Krishna's name. My service is to clean the kitchen. I should try to become very, very competent so I can clean it first class cleaning. If my service is to offer arti, whatever service I am given by Guru and Vaishnavas, I should try to become very, very competent in that service. First class servant. That is love. If you truly love someone, then you want to serve them in a first-class way, not some mediocre, haphazard, I couldn't give a damn way, you see. No. First-class, if you really love someone. So, that's true for everyone. The spiritual master, he has to serve his disciples in a very first-class, loving way to help them. He gives his whole life to help them become pure devotees of Krishna. The disciples, they must also think how they can serve their spiritual master first-class way. Always, most first-class way, you see. Mm. how everything can be very, very first class. We've seen here the devotees, they've done our Vishnupriya Mataji. She's done a very nice job on the yard. So much so the neighborhood association has given an award the month you've seen the sign out front. This is they have celebrated this is the most beautiful yard in the whole neighborhood, you see. Krishna's yard is the most beautiful yard, you see. So, in this way, whatever devotees are doing, it should be first-class thing. You see? Always the first-class thing. Everyone should see that Krishna consciousness, if you want to be first-class person, then you better become Krishna conscious. Because the Krishna conscious people, they're first-class in everything. They have first-class food. They have first-class philosophy. They have first-class deity worship. How many temples in India have deity worship like you see in the ISKCON temples? With beautiful outfits, everything clean and neat, and nice flower arrangements. How many temples in India have this kind of first-class deity worship? Let me see. Practically none. Maybe a few. But even then, it's not quite that on the level of ISKCON. Even where it's good, very good deity worship, it's not quite on the level of ISKCON. So, Prabhupada has made a movement where everything is first class. First class philosophy, first class prasadam, everything first class. So we are the members. Now we must also become first class. Prabhupada wants that we, the members of his society, should all become first class devotees. We should not remain mediocre devotees haphazardly going about our duties, spaced out bozos. You see. We will have questions at the end. Kindly make a mental note. I'll be happy to answer your question. I love questions. But I'm not going to answer them yet. But just make a good mental note. Yeah. Actually, the questions should also be first class. Just like last night, our Gaurav, he asked a first class question. How do you find Guru? It's a first-class question. But actually, that you could also ask, how does one recognize Guru? How do you recognize your spiritual master? Because I explained last night, when you're sincere, the spiritual master will find you. So what if the Guru has found you, but he's right in front of you, but you don't recognize that this is my spiritual master? You understand? Finding the Guru is one thing. What if you find him but you just don't recognize him, and he's right in front of him, you don't recognize him? You see? So, if one is sincere, then Guru will be there, but then how do you recognize this is my spiritual master? That is from scriptures. You have to know the Vedic wisdom very nicely. Tadviganartam sagurum eva bhikshat samit panahi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. You know that verse? Mundaka Upanishad. That if one wants to realize the absolute truth, then you must take shelter of Guru. Who is Guru? That is described. So one can see who is Guru. That is described. Shrotiyam, he has heard the Vedic wisdom from the authorized Vedic authorities. You see. Shrotiyam and Brahmanishtam, he is fixed in Krishna consciousness. If Krishna sends you that person who is fixed in Vedic wisdom, he has heard the Vedic wisdom, he repeats the Vedic wisdom purely as it is, and he's 24 hours a day absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then you can understand, this is my spiritual master. Not a difficult thing. This person is my spiritual master. Not difficult. So anyway, you had a question.
Yes, two things. I have a good friend in Houston named Sarva. He said you may go get to see him. Did you get to see him last week?
Sarva in Houston?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Secondly, and I'm very serious about this. I'm not being frivolous. I've known you for many years.
Yeah.
And
I remember you.
You don't see have any wrinkles in your face. How do you keep from aging? You're my age and I'm having wrinkles. You don't even have a line on your face. I'm very serious. What do you do to not grow old?
Many people are amazed when I tell them I'm 60 years old.
You say, I'm 55. I look old. You look 20 years younger than me. I'm 55.
Yeah. Many people are amazed that I'm 60 years old.
And cosmetic companies would be interested in it.
Huh?
Cosmetic companies would be interested in it.
What is he saying?
Cosmetic companies will be interested.
Ah, yes, yes. Yes, it is a very simple thing. I will give you the secret of how to stay young. You see. It is not diet. Yes, actually diet. It is Krishna Prashadam diet. That's one thing. You only take Krishna Prashadam. Only take Krishna Prashadam. That's one thing. And Krishna is Nava Yavanam. He is an ever-fresh youth. He never gets old, you see. Krishna is always young. So if you will absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness 24 hours daily and never depart from Krishna consciousness, because you become like that with which you associate. If you associate constantly with Krishna by hearing about him, remembering him, etc., then his youthful qualities become manifest in you also.
I'm not arguing with you, but I know ISKCON people who are growing old. They're not young like you. They're guru people.
Well, everyone grows old, but even if the body is very old, a Krishna conscious person, even if he's 80 years old, he can work with the energy of a young man, you see. The body will age, but it will be full of youthful energy, even if it's old body. That is one of the symptoms.
You're not taking special Ayurvedic substances or vitamins? No, I'm serious.
I'd simply take rice, dal, chapati, and sabji and salad for lunch. And fruits in the morning and hot milk at night. And I always chant 16 rounds. I get up for Mangal Arati every day. I follow strictly the regulator principles, no illicit sex life, no intoxication, no meeting, no gambling. I don't take off on the weekends and go to the movies. I'm getting all the nectar I need from Krishna consciousness. Actually, I'm tasting unlimited nectar from Krishna consciousness. My life is an exciting thrill at every minute. I'm living in a life of great adventure at every minute, traveling and preaching all over the world, Krishna consciousness. I just come here to plan my next preaching tour, that's all. It's a good place for me to learn shlokas. I find in Austin I can really learn the shlokas nicely.
When you learn what?
Verses.
Oh, okay. You study here.
When I come here, I cram more verses. And I arrange, just like now, we're arranging our next preaching tour. There's so many things. Like we are taking our next tour. There are 22 tickets. Can you imagine 22 airline tickets?
You're kidding.
It's a round the world tour.
George, you're going to have to use 22?
22 of them, yeah.
Or 22 people going with you?
No, 22 tickets for me.
Where are you going?
All over the world. So it takes a lot of work to arrange them.
You'll be gone for what, a couple of months, 2 or 3 months?
We'll be back in January.
Golly, what's going to happen here?
So, huh?
What happened? There's no more meetings when you're gone?
No, Vaicharan will be in charge. There'll be programs here every Sunday. They go on every week.
So you're going to India, probably.
You're going to India, he's asking.
India, yeah, India is there. So, the Always stay active in Krishna consciousness. Always stay active in serving Krishna. And you'll be young for your whole life. You'll always have the energy and the demeanor of a young man. You should qualify yourself. You should become initiated into the Prabhupada Sampradaya, you see. You have met Prabhupada, I heard. So now you make your, now you have to formalize your connection with him by becoming initiated into his wonderful Sampradaya, you see. Formalize your connection now with Prabhupada by becoming initiated disciple in his wonderful Sampradaya. Become a fully duly initiated Prabhupada Anuga. That will infuse you with youthful energy if you do that. Diksha is one of the secrets also.
You remind me of him, too, though. You remind me of Prabhupada, because you have the pure eyes he had. You're a whole lot like him. He was hard to look at. Prabhupada was hard to look at.
That is Prabhupada's mercy, that's all I can say. If I remind you of Prabhupada, it's only by his mercy. I personally have no qualification. But if I'm reminding you of his divine grace, it is his kindness, that's all. It is his kindness only. So, any other questions? Yeah.
Gurudev, how do we get rid of like splayed intelligence? Like even
what type of intelligence?
Splayed.
Splayed intelligence. Yes, that is described in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Vyavasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuru nandana bahu shaka hyanantascha bhuriyo yasayanam. Those who are on this pathway are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So it all boils down to being resolved, you see. You have to just fix your mind. This is it. I have no duty except to surrender completely to my spiritual master. That's it. I have nothing else. Prabhupada explained that one should take the order of one's spiritual master as one's very life and soul. And he should always meditate on that. And then Prabhupada made it even stronger. He said one should always worship the instructions one has received from one's spiritual master. So you could, whatever orders your spiritual masters give you, you could actually post them on the wall and offer arti to those instructions. That's how sacred they are. If you always have that unflinching dedication to the orders you've received from your spiritual master. Just imagine you've fallen off the edge of a cliff. And somehow or other, as you went over the edge, you just happened to grab onto some branch. How tightly you will hold onto that branch? Will you just kind of lightly hold on? Will you tightly? Will you clench your fist very tightly on that branch? Very tightly. Actually, your adrenaline will be revved up like anything. And you'll have so much energy in your hands, you'll never imagine you could have that much energy in your hand. You see. So that's how tightly you should cling to the lotus feet of your spiritual master. And that means his instructions. How tightly you should cling to the instructions of your spiritual master. That will make you residency. That will make you one-pointed. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. It's splayed out here and there and everywhere, all over the three worlds. So that is the answer. Next question.
In the purport, it was mentioned about other forms.
Yes.
Like exclusively the 200 form is important. But we don't at the same time, we don't differentiate between any other form. So why do you mention that?
Same time, we don't what?
Differentiate between one form and another form.
Yes. We do and we don't. Because they are all different forms of Krishna. Now, there are devotees, according to their rasa, who are attracted to other forms. Just like Murari Gupta couldn't take his heart away from Lord Ram because he was Hanuman's incarnation. So sometime, that is there. There are devotees who are attracted like them. But our rasa in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are attracted to this Krishna consciousness movement because we are attracted to Krishna. Sometimes we will have Sita Ram also on the altar, but they are on the side altar. We have Radha Krishna in the center altar, just like in our Mumbai temple. On the left side, Gornitai, on the right, Sita Ram, Hanuman Lakshman. And in the center, Radha Rasavihari. So we meditate on all the forms, but our main focus is on Radha Rasavihari. We accept the other forms to help us appreciate Krishna even more. We study about Vishnu, Narayan, Varaha, etc., simply to increase our appreciation for Krishna. Sometimes someone asks, well, can we emphasize Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga? The prophet said, no. He wanted us to emphasize chanting Hare Krishna. That is our line. We accept Nittai Gauranga worship to enhance our Hare Krishna chanting, not vice versa. Lord Chaitanya chanted Hare Krishna mantra. He is the topmost example of a devotee. And he was always chanting Hare Krishna. So we follow that pathway. Krishna. Krishna Bhakti. Any other questions?
Question from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes?
About Bali Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
We know what happened to him with Vamandev, and he was pushed to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was all because he conquered the Devas, the kingdom of Devas, right? Demigods.
He did what?
He conquered.
He had conquered?
The Devas.
The Devas, okay.
The demigods. So what initiated that?
Why did he get pushed to the nether region?
No. Why did he fight with the demigods? What initiated that?
Oh, why did he do that?
Yeah, I mean, he was a pure devotee of Krishna.
I do not know the history. That one I don't know the answer. It appears, although it can be researched. Mataji, do you know why Bali Maharaj was conquering the demigods before he surrendered to Vamana?
Because he wanted to take the position of Indra.
He wanted what?
He had a desire to become Indra.
Yeah.
That's right.
He had some material program.
And now because he had it, so Vamana is blessing him also. So next step, Indra.
He had a desire to be Indra? You read that? Oh, okay. He had a material desire.
He's already predicted to be a next Indra.
He had some material desire. But by surrendering to Vamana Dev, then he became completely purified of all material desires. Just like we see Dhruva also, he had material desire. So he's in the same category like Dhruva. Material desire. Dhruva did it by mystic yoga and Bali Maharaj by conquering, military conquering, whatever technique he was using, some military arrangement obviously. The same desire but just done in a different way. So. Question.
It was also that he was an asura, so like although he was a devotee, he had those qualities, he worshipped the god, but still by birth, I mean, you know, he had those instincts.
He had the asuric nature of lording it over, but he became purified,
right.
So even the asuras, they become sura, right, if they surrender to the Lord,
right.
Yeah. Questions more? So that's it? Okay, question.
Why you should beat your mind?
Because your mind's a rascal, that's why. If there is a rascal, you must beat that rascal until he stops being a rascal, you see.
What does rascal mean?
Rascal means he wants sense enjoyment. The rascal mind, he wants, just like we see karmis, they're totally absorbed in sense gratification. Especially when we're traveling. We go through the airports. Especially we saw in Reno, Nevada. Oh, they're all just going to the slot machines. All the karmis. Just all up and down the airport. There was hundreds of slot machines in the airport. People just sitting there, you know. They look like mindless zombies. There was no happiness on any of their faces. We didn't see one blissful person. Just. So the rascal mind thinks that by sense enjoyment they can be happy. But actually they're not happy. So you can't listen to the mind when the mind tells you to go for sense enjoyment. The mind will say, why should I go to the temple? I will go somewhere else for some sense gratification, you see. So you have to tell the mind to shut up and be quiet, you see. What is it? You said something? No?
The mind sometimes doesn't want to learn, what they say. The mind sometimes doesn't want to learn.
Ah, yes. Just like when you're a student, the teacher wants you to learn the alphabet, you see. But the mind says, no, 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 I don't want to learn this alphabet. I just want to play. So you have to tell your mind to be quiet. I'm going to learn how to read and write so I can serve Guru and Krishna first class. So when the mind says, no, 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 I don't want to learn how to read and write, you just tell the mind to shut up. I'm going to learn how to read and write so I can become a first-class Brahmin. In this way, I must beat the mind. Any other question?
Do we need to take the stick?
With the stick?
Do we need to take the stick or take the shoes to beat the mind or what?
Oh, if you don't have a stick or a broom, you can beat your mind with your intelligence also. With your intelligence, you can chastise your mind for being a nonsense. Even if you don't have shoes or a broomstick to beat your mind, you can do it with philosophy. You say, mind, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. You don't need sense enjoyment. In this way, you can chastise your mind using our Krishna conscious philosophy. Questions more? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like recently we had one come through here who was a disciple of a fake guru or
Yeah, the, I mean, the Kali Yuga, they're just full of these cheaters.
The Prabhupada disciple?
Well, there is one who's obviously not following what Prabhupada taught, and he's made a vow to reinitiate all the disciples in his
life. So, I don't understand the question.
How do we protect ourselves? How do we tell?
You just have to. You have to read Prabhupada's books and follow your spiritual master. That's very simple. Yeah, there was one disciple of Prabhupada. He said, "You don't have to chant 16 rounds." He was, the initiation said, "Well, your duty is to chant 4 rounds a day." See? He's a disciple of Prabhupada, but he's initiating people and telling them, "Oh, 4 rounds." Prabhupada never authorized anyone to change the instructions given in his book, 16 rounds. You see, one cannot claim to be a bona fide disciple unless he's actually purely representing his spiritual master. As soon as he deviates, saying, "Well, this should be done differently than this, different than the way Prabhupada introduced it," then he immediately is useless. He must reject this person. He's not qualified. There's one so-called follower of Prabhupada. This is actually, you know, you should chant on beads, Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga. He's emphasizing chanting Nittai Gauranga on japa beads. But Prabhupada never did that. You know, chant 16 rounds of Nittai Gauranga every day. He's teaching his students to do these kind of things. But Prabhupada never did that. Then he's using so many quotes from Prabhupada. Prabhupada glorifies the chanting of Nittai Gauranga. The acharyas do that. But he was a brahmachari in our temple in Bombay. And he left the movement. We call it blooped. He left the temple and went out and started his own movement with a new principle that we should chant Nittai Gauranga and japa beads, you see. And he gives all so many quotes, and he has so many people now who think that he's a bona fide spiritual master. And they think that they're becoming good followers of, you know, in the Chaitanya Sampradaya by following this person who was initiated ISKCON devotee, but who I don't think he was Prabhupada's disciple directly. He's disciple of Prabhupada's disciple. But this sort of nonsense is going on. Prabhupada never did that. We see any case, anyone ever had any recorded, anyone has ever seen Prabhupada chanting Nittai Gauranga on his beats? Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga. It was never done. So why we should introduce some principle that now we will chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna and 16 rounds of Nittai Gauranga? Why we should introduce some new principle that Prabhupada never introduced and say that this is better than what Prabhupada did. This is better than those people who just chant Hare Krishna on their japa beads.
He wants his own movement.
Huh?
He wants his own movement.
That's right. He wanted to start his own movement, so he had to put a new emphasis to be different. That's right. Yes. Yeah, well, they will go wherever their guru goes. If a person doesn't follow their own spiritual master, that person cannot go back to Godhead. Krishna will never accept such a person who has deviated from their spiritual master. So if we follow a teacher who is not following their bona fide spiritual master, we remain in the material world with that person. And that's the problem. You go wherever whoever you're following goes. You follow him. So we have to follow that person who is strictly following the previous acharyas. That's who we have to follow, not those who have deviated. The blind leading, if the blind lead the blind, where do they end up? In the ditch? Yes. Next question. Yeah.
What is the difference between slavery and disciple?
Between what?
Slavery and disciple.
The first word?
Slave and a disciple.
A slave.
Slave. Yeah. What is the difference between a slave and a disciple? A slave doesn't have any brain. He's like an animal in one sense. Disciple is not like slave. He's more a slave. Well, the modern day conception of slave, they don't love their master. They hate their master. They could kill their master, they would. You see? The disciple, he greatly loves his spiritual master. He never feels that he's a slave. He feels, here's a way to explain. There's two different paradigms here. One paradigm is domination. That is slave, you see. Someone who is dominated by another person, they become a slave of that person. That's one paradigm. The other paradigm is empowerment. Just like I never feel that I'm a slave of Srila Prabhupada. I feel that Prabhupada has empowered me to render the highest service to the suffering humanity and to achieve the supreme perfection of regaining my eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual sky. I never feel like I'm some slave, you know, being whipped, you know, 20 lashes if I don't perform fast enough, you know. Not like them. Or like the slave ships, you know, where the Romans had the slave ships, so that all the slaves would be there rowing, you know. They'd be whipping them if they're not rowing fast enough. And if you get sick, they just throw you overboard and let you die and let you drown in the ocean, you see. No, the disciple is not someone, even though he voluntarily accepts the subordination to his spiritual master, it's not a paradigm of being dominated. It's a paradigm of being empowered to act as a representative of Krishna in all situations, to be an ambassador, just like somebody who, it's just like in the U.S. government, you have people, you know, the ambassador to the United Kingdom. He has a very prestigious position. He goes to the UK as the representative of the United States government. A very prestigious position. He's not treated like some slave. He's given great honor and respect. So to become a devotee of Krishna is like that. You become empowered, an empowered representative of the Lord. You're totally surrendered and subordinate to the Lord, but it's not just, you know, some person being chained to a wheel, you know, and whipped every couple of days. You see the difference? Yes.
Gurudev, as you just said, I mean, in case of Romans, if you don't work, they'll throw you in the ocean.
Right.
In case of a disciple, if you are drowning in an ocean, your Gurudev will save you because of his love for you.
That's right. That's right. In fact, one time my god sister, she was serving Prabhupada in India in the early, early days when there was no facility, and it was a great endeavor she went through to serve Srila Prabhupada because she had to get the money from the temple treasurer to buy the groceries for Prabhupada, and he was very tight with the money. She would have to go take a rickshaw down to the boat landing and take the boat across the river. And she had her little baby daughter. It was a great austerity. And then the smoke was there, and she went through so many austerities to cook for Prabhupada every day. And one day Prabhupada was there with his godbrothers, all the sannyasis. And here she is in a woman's body feeling, you know, a little out of place with all the sannyasis, and she In a very humble way, she came crawling in. She put her sari over her face and came crawling in with prasadam for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he spoke to his god brother. He says, she is willing to, see, what did he say? That she's willing to cut her throat for me, and I'm willing to cut my throat for her. Prabhupada so much appreciated her dedication, that she's willing to cut her throat for me, and I'm willing to cut my throat for her. So just as the disciple is dedicated to the spiritual master, spiritual master, as you have very nicely pointed out, he is also similarly dedicated to his disciple.
I have experienced that. That's why I can say that.
Hmm?
I have experienced that.
Hmm.
When I got drowned.
Oh, you were drowning?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then someone saved me. I never figured out who it was. I was just 9 years old.
Hmm.
Godavari. So, and that was on Diwali, so which is a very holy day. So.
Very nice. Any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
As per today's verse, the God Krishna says, those who follow my instructions will come to me.
Hmm.
Does that mean the following instruction has to come through parampara?
Yes, yes. Krishna says, he says in the Adi Purana, my devotee is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So if you want to actually be obedient to Krishna, then you have to serve him through his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. And then he will accept that you are his devotee. Any other question? Is everyone satisfied now? No. All right, we'll stop here. One more question, okay.
Who is Radha Rani?
Radha Rani is the topmost of all of the devotees of Krishna. Krishna has unlimited millions and billions of devotees, but there is no devotee who is more dedicated to Krishna than Srimati Radha Rani. No one loves Krishna more than she does. She loves Krishna more than anyone. Of all his devotees, she is the topmost devotee of Krishna. And she lives forever with Krishna in the spiritual world, engaged in loving pastimes with the Lord. And when we chant Hare, we are begging her mercy. She is the energy of Krishna. She is known as Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of Krishna. When Krishna wants to enjoy, he emanates his Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, so that he can enjoy in her association. So, she is most dear to Krishna. And we pray, Hare, addressing Radharani, and Krishna, addressing Krishna, that they will engage us in their service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And that Rama is also Krishna, also, actually. Krishna, Rama means supreme enjoyer. So that Rama is another name. It is Balaram, it is Ramachandra, it is also Parasaram. But it is Krishna also. Krishna himself is also Rama. So actually we are chanting to Krishna and Radharani throughout the entire Mahamantra. Yes.
Sometimes we see that some people just come to ISKCON attracted by the opposite sex. So how do you do it with them?
Yes, someone comes to ISKCON because they're attracted to the male or female members of the movement. Yes.
They show their great interest.
Sometimes that was a technique, I remember, that our book distributors would use.
Some people come.
Yes, I understand your point. What's the question?
So, how to deal with this?
Yes, I'm answering your question. Sometimes I remember that our devotees were distributing books. They say, oh, you... They would use that as a trick. They'd say, oh, you like that, you're attracted to that girl. Come to our temple. And we have a nice program on Sunday. And that devotee will be there. They would use that as some trick to get the people to come. That, you know, they'd like to have more association with that person. So they say, yes, well, she'll be there and you can meet with her. She will tell you more about Krishna. So in this way, sometimes devotees use them.
This is not a user to devotees. I'm not talking about the devotees using like the sannyasa.
Huh?
It's not that I'm talking about the devotees using the techniques like that. But I'm talking about the people.
What one should think if one is feeling like them?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
Huh? Just for that purpose and rather than for Krishna.
Well, then we should understand that if I have somehow come to the temple because I was attracted to this person or that person, I should think, well, now I'm here, let me come to a higher level of consciousness. If I was attracted because there was to come to the temple because of some beautiful girl who comes to the temple and I wanted to see her, so I've come to the temple so I can see this beautiful girl. Once I hear the lecture, then I should understand, well, there's a higher level of consciousness. And it's nice that I'm here somehow or other. But now that I'm here, let me come to a higher consciousness of realizing that the self is beyond the body. And any attraction I feel for the opposite sex, actually it is nothing but a perverted manifestation of the original attraction that the soul has for God. So somehow, if it got me here, well, I'm here, but so now let me come to the higher level of understanding that the original source of all attraction is Krishna. That's why he's called Krishna, the all-attractive one. So if I'm attracted to a beautiful member of the opposite sex, then I should understand that ultimately that attraction is to Krishna. And that's the attraction that will satisfy me, not the attraction to the opposite sex. So if now I'm here because of that attraction, now let me think, well, Krishna was kind. He tricked me into getting here. Now that I'm here, let me go to the higher level and be attracted to Krishna. Do you understand?
Yeah. I have another question in that regard. If someone's mind is absorbed only in that thing, then how he can even concentrate, he or she can concentrate on the thoughts of this higher consciousness or higher philosophy or can think about even or pay attention to even lecture.
Yes. If one is thinking like that, then one will not be able to come to the higher platform. So, therefore we say, beat the mind with shoes and with broomstick. We encourage that if your mind is becoming diverted by sexual attraction, then you should get a very nice broom and shoes and beat it. Not literally, figuratively I'm speaking. You should understand that this is a source of, degradation for my consciousness. Just like Bibhamangala Thakur, he was on his way to Vrindavan, and realizing that this sex life is a nonsense, a dirty nonsense thing. He was on his way to Vrindavan. Of course, it can be used for producing Krishna-conscious children, but beyond that, it is dirty nonsense thing. So, on his way to Vrindavan, he was attracted by a beautiful woman. He followed her home. And it was a Sudra family, so the husband was very respectful. Oh, you are a Brahmin. Please come in. How can I serve you? He says, I want to enjoy your wife. The Sudra man, he was so respectful that, all right, you are Brahmin. Whatever I have is yours. All right. You can enjoy with my wife. So, but Bibhamangala, he came to his senses at that point. When he went with that lady for enjoyment. But then he realized, I was on my way to Vrindavan. But now again I become diverted by my lusty desires. So he said, Mother, please give me your hairpin. And he took that pin and he poked his eyes up. You see, he made himself blind man. So, I have not finished. We are not saying that people should poke out their eyes, but we're saying that you should poke out your lusty desires by hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness very, very sincerely and taking it very deeply into one's heart. Do you understand? Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Of going to Vrindavan, but just wasn't just some person like, you know, just come for the opposite sex.
Okay.
The
all right.
Consciousness is just for opposite sex.
All right. That's not a question.
This is my question. So how to deal with this?
Meaning, Gurudev, they don't realize, those people don't realize that, then how should we deal with them? If they don't have any interest, if they don't realize that we need to be...
Well, sometimes people come with ulterior motive, just like that thief. He went to the Bhagavatam class to see what he could steal, you see. There's so many people there, maybe I can steal something while the class is going on. But then he heard that Krishna was loaded with valuable jewels, and he's a little boy in Vrindavan Forest. So somehow he got purified. But if one is, how do you deal with a person? Then, no, you just have to preach to him. That's all. That you have been diverted by this sexual attraction for millions of lifetimes. When you were an ostrich, you went ooh ah over a female ostrich. You see, so it's an embarrassing thing. Just like we were on the Ratha Yatra in Mathura, and there was one bull cow and one bull. He was attracted to a cow, and his body became transformed, and it was very disgusting to see. As the body gets transformed, his body was transformed. He was in the public street. He's animal. He doesn't think, well, everyone's seeing me. But his body became transformed. It was very disgusting and embarrassing thing to see. This bull who was completely overwhelmed with lusty desire. You see? So we should have a little philosophical perspective to see that we are like that bull. It's an embarrassing thing to be overwhelmed with lusty desire. So one should curb that down by higher knowledge. You see? Curb it down because it's keeping us here in the cycle of birth and death. One should realize there's no sweeter thing than the name of Krishna. How much nectar? It's inconceivable. You cannot even measure how much nectar is there in one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. You cannot even measure the unlimited oceans of nectar available in one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. So in this way, with higher knowledge, we have to defeat the demon of lust. Mr. Lust sits in our heart. So we have to defeat that demon of Mr. Lust with a weapon of transcendental knowledge. Does that answer your question?
I can understand the case of Ajamil. Like, he became too lusty.
Yeah.
And he couldn't control himself.
Yes.
So even any good philosophy or any good instruction.
Yes, yes, yes.
Go into the brain. So
okay.
That kind of person.
So. So what's the question then?
So I do not know how to deal with such
person. You don't know how to deal with them. That's not a question.
I do not know. That's a question. I do not know how to deal. Mm-hmm.
The answer is, if that person is willing to hear, then we explain to them.
They're not willing to hear.
They're not willing to hear, then you just give them, fill them up with prasadam, so their mind is diverted by prasadam. Yes?
You mentioned, I got a little confused. You mentioned earlier about when you chant Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. Is Rama Krishna's brother? Am I got that wrong?
Yeah, Lord Ram. Ram can refer also to Balaram, Krishna's brother, yes.
But on the chant, on the Hare Krishna chant, is that talking
about? It can be taken as Balaram, Krishna's brother. It can be taken as also Lord Ramachandra.
Oh.
can also be taken as Lord Parashuram. There are three different, actually there are four Rams.
Oh, really?
It's because Krishna is also a Ram. Yeah, there are four Rams at least. There may be more, but there are at least four Rams. Generally we say three Rams.
I thought I read it meant Krishna's energy. Does it mean Krishna's energy? Did I read that?
Hare somewhere? Is the energy.
Oh, the energy. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, right. He's addressing the energy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's true.
Would it be appropriate to continue my question? Would it be appropriate that if that person doesn't change his consciousness, should not be allowed?
If someone is using the temple for nefarious purposes, and they're not willing to curb it down, and they cannot be alone. But just because someone has material desires, but they're coming here sincerely to practice Krishna consciousness, everyone is impure to begin with in different, subtler, gross ways. We're all impure.
Yeah, that we
do not require people to be pure devotees to come to the temple. Even if there's we all have a nefarious attitude. Everyone. We are all nefarious to a greater or lesser extent. But if one is coming and is willing to learn how to overcome the nefarious attitude, then they can be alone. They're sincerely trying to overcome the nefarious attitude.
In that case, we have heard many times that those asuras were punished by the princes, by the prince or the king or something like that. So that's probably, if we know that someone is doing that for materialistic purposes.
No, if someone is coming to the temple and they are engaged in nefarious activities, then they have to be disallowed from coming. That's all. Someone may be coming to pick, just like they... in our large temples, we have a problem with pickpockets, for example. Scum is coming as a pickpocket, and they're detected. They have to be... Actually, they should be arrested. The police should be called, you see. Or if someone is coming from a deviant religious sect and they wanted to steal our members, to take them away to a different organization, no, they should not be allowed also. If they have an agenda, a recruiting agenda here, they just want to come and steal members from ISKCON, they should also not be allowed.
My question was to persons who are attracted to opposite sex, giving them, telling them, come, this, that, such persons.
No, if someone is trying to use the temple as a facility for illicit activities, they cannot come. That's right. Yeah. Someone is coming for illicit purpose, using the temple's facility for illicit activities, and they should be told straight that you either do this, either stop doing this, or you can't come. But we try to be kind upon everyone and help them to overcome these tendencies. That is our Patita Pavana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the friend of the most fallen. So we are representatives of Patita Pavana. So we try to, our level best, just like there's one example. There was one member, there was actually one thief. Yes. He dressed up as an ISKCON sannyasi, and he got some fake receipt books, ISKCON receipt books. And he was going around and signing up life members for ISKCON and pocketing the money, you see. And I think this was the case, yeah. And he was detected. There may be two stories. I remember there was a thief in our Mayapur center. And devotees called the Bengali police. You see, to take him away. And the police came to arrest him and take him to jail. He fell down at Prabhupada's lotus feet and said, "I take shelter of you. Please protect me." And Prabhupada told the police to go He has taken shelter of me. I must give him protection. And so he was allowed to live in the temple. Now he's agreed to become a devotee and give up his sinful life. But then one day they saw him in the early morning. He had his suitcase. He was sneaking out the door. So they called the police immediately to have him arrested. Prabhupada was willing to forgive his criminal nature because he had taken shelter. But then when they saw he was just using that as a way to avoid being arrested, he wasn't really serious about being a devotee, then they put him back to the police. No, not really. The same thing.
Same thing, but it's like one can corrupt and one can just go away. Steal and go away. By stealing, one may not make it get it, but corruption doesn't come back.
Yeah, there are different manifestations of the same criminal mentality. Question?
Yeah, I have a question. My girlfriend, she's afraid to come to the temple because in the past, the way that she was raised in the Christian church, they condemned her. So I've tried to get her to come here, but she won't come because she's afraid that if she comes, she's very beautiful. She's afraid if she comes that people will look at her and say, well, you know, she's worldly and, you know what I'm trying to say? In other words.
Yeah, I know. I had a similar situation. There was one devotee who'd been a ISKCON member, and for many years he's fallen away from our principles. And he told me, I'm afraid to come because everybody's going to make me feel like I'm bad. You know, they're going to judge me.
Yeah, that's the point.
They're all going to judge, oh, see how fallen he is. I don't want to go because everybody. And I told him, actually, you know, you're judging yourself much worse than we will judge you. You're laying the guilt trip on yourself. We're not going to do that. You're judging yourself much worse than we will judge you. I told him that, and then he came.
But see, her concern is I'll be honest, she doesn't dress modestly. She doesn't dress real modestly. So, you see what I'm saying?
But you can, you advise her when she comes, she should dress a little, some modest dressing is nice, is appropriate. You can advise her. That's so. You please bring her. Have her dress a little modestly and bring her. Okay. That'd be very nice.
Talking about the thieves, once we lost our shoes in Vrindavan temple,
yeah.
Somebody stole.
You have to put, you have to put one shoe one side and one shoe the other side. So they can't match them up. They only steal a pair. They won't steal a single shoe.
We had a joke in India. If you need shoes, go to the temple.
Yeah. Get them from the outside.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Who was Parashuram?
Parashuram is an incarnation of God who was very angry at the Kshatriyas, the renegade Kshatriyas, who were deviating from Vedic culture. So he killed the whole generation of Kshatriyas, 21 times. 21 times he killed off all the Kshatriyas. In other words, the parent, the adult Kshatriyas he would kill off, and then when their sons grew up, 21 times he annihilated all the Kshatriyas. He was so angry at the Kshatriyas who were deviating from Vedic culture. And that's why some of them fled to Europe. They got away from Parashuram and went to Europe side. Just like if you study in the history about the Vikings in Europe, they're very aggressive, militant warrior class, you see, the Vikings. They are they have fled from the wrath of Parashuram. European side, Kshatriyas. The Kshatriya mentality, you see, the European and the Americans also, they are European. The Europeans and Americans, they are all from the Kshatriyas who fled from Lord Parashuram. That's why there's such a warmongering mood, you see. Europe, how many wars? Modern day history is all measured by wars. This war, that war, so many. American history, they also calculate by the wars, you see. It's a warring nature because the Europeans, they are from the Kshatriya stock who fled Parashuram's wrath. Questions more? Okay, we'll stop here. Rajavidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.